Mr. Davis, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the program. Recently, the board had a retreat, and as opposed to getting away and having some time to relax, you talked about some very serious matters regarding the school district. We're going to ask you some specific questions about that, but tell us how the retreat went and a little bit why you decided to take this retreat.
Oh, well, it's always good for us to get together in a informal setting and attempt to, you know, particularly at this time, there's so many challenges to all districts in the state and across the country that we just had to get together and start working on them.
Well, let's talk about a couple of items that come to mind and that have been in the news. Let's talk about the parking structure. The board is going to consider extending the fees, and I want to make it quite clear, it's not raising the fees. It's extending the times which those fees to park on campus are charged. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, that's Lansing Community College, I believe.
Yes.
Matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm with the Lansing School Board. So do you want me to comment on Lansing?
Well, I wanted you to comment. Do you see that's something that you may get involved with or ask for more fees to be charged when parking around schools?
Yeah, well, the board really didn't discuss that. But if you want my personal, I think the proposal by Dr. Knight and the board is totally reasonable.
The school board is facing a lot of challenges, a huge budget deficit. There has been information floating around that you're considering closing some schools. We had Superintendent T.C. Wallace on the program talking about no definitive closings have been discussed. No schools individually have been discussed, but everything's going to be on the table as you try to get all your efforts together to balance the budget.
Yeah, that's right. And we're not really looking at closing. We're looking at possibly some buildings that we'll have to close, but they would the programs, which we have some very good programs, would be consolidated in another building is what we're actually looking at. So we're not looking at terminating the actual programs the kids are currently attached to or in fond of. We're just trying to see about moving them, which is not that big a deal because, like in our magnet program, the kids are almost all bused to our magnet locations anyway. So they would just be bused to another location.
When we talk about the possibility of closing some buildings, for example, Sexton High School, where the enrollment is dwindling, and that's a big building, and you really don't have enough students to fill it, is that going to be a strong consideration, although a lot of monies have been pumped into that building for some programs?
No, I haven't heard anything serious about Sexton. We've got 700 kids there, which isn't what it used to be, but Sexton's working well. It's made AYP, which is, state and federally examines academic progress. And truthfully, we've always been told throughout the years, I've been on the board 11 years, we've always been told that one of the biggest difficulties we have in terms of educating students is our building population's too large, and so now we're at about the right size in most of our buildings, and so that shouldn't be a big factor. The economics may come to become more important than the actual perfect size for educating kids, but I don't think we're there this year. I think we're mostly looking at a middle school possibility.
Well, if you have a budget shortfall of 11 to, say, 10 to $11 million, how are you going to get that number down to zero?
Okay, well, the biggest item is adjusting our staffing, which we do every year, and that saves us, that should be able to save us in the neighborhood of a couple million. Then if we do something with a couple of the schools, including middle schools, that's certainly a million, 500,000 to a million. And we have the possibility of selling some of our property, particularly the downtown administration building, which is a whole block, whole city block. So we're looking at that, creating some revenue stream for us. And we do have a $7 million surplus budget in our budget, so we could get down in the neighborhood to $2 or $3 million utilization of that surplus, which is what we we're probably going to be looking at.
If you close the middle school, which one would it be?
I don't know. We're looking at, it won't be Pattengill, which was just built, and it probably wouldn't be Gardner, and because that's a relatively new building, which is serving the whole south side of the city. So we're looking at the other two, and we're studying it.
Those are Otto and
Dwight Rich.
Dwight Rich. And if you sold the administration building, where would you take your where would the administration take their offices to?
Hill.
Oh, so you'd move everyone out to Harry Hill.
Well, that's what we're talking about, but, you know, there's cost to that. Maybe it should be one of the buildings that we are looking at taking offline. That's the thing, you know, we're not, we're just looking at these possibilities, but that's the logical place because we have plenty of room out there and we have a lot of administration out there already.
Have you had the opportunity to have any dialogue with the Rick Snyder administration yet?
No. Mm-mm.
Do you foresee a possibility that schools may get increased funding in the upcoming years?
No, I don't. I don't foresee that. I think the Snyder administration, what I hear from Republicans largely is that Michigan is way on the side of being having benefits and salaries of a wealthy state, which of course we were 15 years ago. And everything's got to be adjusted so that we're not having retirement plans and wages that are that of a wealthy state, but a poorer state. I think that's the logic of what they're talking about, particularly in the retirement plan area. Because what's happening, which the public probably doesn't comprehend that well, is that we can have zero wage increases and zero step increases, which means that there's no increase in cost to the district for those two items. But when the state gives us our bill for retirement plan, like last year, it was 20% of all of our wages. And when you get 20% of all of our wages, you're talking $4 or $5 million. And that's the area which we can't control in negotiations or anything else. And the other one is health care, which usually goes up about the increase is what is 20%, and the health care can easily be 15%. So when you add those two together, that's really the fundamentals of our problem is with those two items. So we can negotiate health care so that we can do our best to get that so that it's not, we don't have a 15% increase every year. The 20% of the retirement comes out of the state. So the state's got to reform their retirement system so that schools don't have to find that 20% increase every year.
We're talking with Lansing School District Board President Jack Davis. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS.com. What would you tell voters, people listening to this program, about the Lansing School District and how you're trying to balance the budget? A lot of fears out there. What would you say to our audience?
Well, the public is very intelligent. We just had a millage vote where they allowed us to have increased revenues of $4 or $5 million a year for repairs and maintenance of our buildings, and for them to have voted for that, and they did it 66% in favor. That's a very intelligent public. So there's no fool in the public. So at least in this community. So we're very, very thankful for the support we've gotten. That's number one. Number two, the problems that Lansing faces gets most of the publicity. because we're the dominant district. But the fact is that we're trying to work hard on consolidating with services with other districts. I'm on two committees in different areas for that. And every district is facing basically the exact same problems we are. The biggest problem is that this area has declining population, and we do not have enhanced enrollment anywhere, but that's because of our lack of population growth and people moving out of Michigan. So every district has these problems. We get the headlines, but there's nobody who's not facing this. So we're trying to coordinate with other districts to create efficiencies. We've got several committees. I just met Monday for 2 hours, alternative education consolidation. So the public should know that I think we're doing everything we can. That's in terms of all districts having this problem. And lastly, I just want to say that we're going to have tough bargaining with our unions coming up next year. Our teachers' contract is up in June. It's going to be tremendous bargaining difficulties. Teachers are going to obviously bear the brunt of our financial problems, unfortunately, because they're very good people and they work hard and they're very, you know, I think the community knows they're by and large doing a great job. But the point is that they're going to have to bear the brunt of this. And they're going, just like the Sparrow had with their nurses, and LCC is going to have with their faculty, we're going to have very complicated and difficult. Budget negotiations are going to get a lot of publicity. So the public just has to allow us to do that process so we can get our expenditures lined up with our declining revenues from the state.
Will the administration see and cuts? Will they bear some of this burden?
Yeah. You know, they'll bear some of the burden, but to be honest, our statistics are that of districts our size, we have lower administrative wages than most districts our size, so there's not a whole lot we're going to do there. And we are pretty thinned down. I mean, we have a curriculum department is bare bones. And we have cut so much in administration and in the teaching staff and in other collateral jobs that the only way we're going to cut more jobs is based on if our school student population goes down, not creating efficiencies other than our attempt to coordinate a major, like for instance, bus service and bus repairs, attempt to coordinate and collaborate on that, which is a big expense item with other districts.
What was the board's take on the plan submitted to the state to help Eastern handle its business and get its numbers where it needs to be when it comes to graduation rates?
Yeah, that was, as you know, we were not even a full percentage point behind in terms of requirements for graduation rates, and that's what threw us into the category where we had to create this plan. Our administration worked with the ISD and the SIT team, the school improvement team at Eastern, and I thought they came up with a plan that the state was looking for. The problem was that you're supposed to put in your plan more seat time, and more innovative programming, and we just don't have any money. Luckily, you can use your grant money for the state and the feds to fund these change programs, and that's what we're gonna have to do. And I thought the program was excellent, and we're waiting for the state's response.
And finally, before we let you go, I'm going to let you get up on the stump. Why should folks consider the Lansing School District to send their kids to school?
We got some real innovative programs. You know, Post Oak's got the Chinese immersion program, and parents love it that Post Oak is way overpopulated. It's got additional facilities have been moved on that site. Pleasant View is for the arts is way overpopulated. Wexford for Montessori is way overpopulated. We're very popular with a lot of parent groups, and our elementaries are doing very, very well. The buildings are utilized quite well by and large. So I don't know. We have great. There's great value in diversity, and there's to not have the kids get that experience when they're going off into the real world is a big mistake. And you can get it best education and best experience in other relationships at the Lansing School District.
Thanks so much, Mr. Davis.
Okay, thank you.